Good morning. Absolutely gorgeous day out there. We're supposed to get pounded with some rain tomorrow, I understand. But, boy, get out and do something today to enjoy the weather. At least sit outside or on the porch and just smell the roses. So it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Here we are about to enter into August this week, and time's flying, and already people are putting stuff on Facebook about winter and Christmas, and let's not get in a rush, folks. Let's enjoy this weather while it lasts. Very nice. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we give you thanks for this place, for this time in our lives. Thank you for the weather, this country in which we live. Thank you, Lord, for each other. And God, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. Bless us this day, Lord, that we would be open to receive the word that you have for us. Bless this service, that it would be pleasing to you. Bless our church, that it would grow in leaps and bounds, God. Bless and anoint us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us all with love for one another, and especially with love for you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. And the peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to one another.
I felt like I was in a jazz club. Good morning, church. I offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and as you make your way back to your seats, I would like to open with our moments of informality. I'll take a few minutes to tell you about the mission and ministry of the church. Do we have any visitors this morning? I'm looking around. I don't see any visitors, but if you are a visitor and would like information about the church, please don't hesitate to see the pastor, to see me or our organist, Diane Runser, or if you so desire, check with the ushers, or you can retrieve a packet of information immediately out our double doors to the left, hanging on a shepherd's crook. It's a packet of information for you. I would also ask that you sign the registration page. You can find that in the red folder located at the end of your pew. Please sign that, pass it to others, and then bring it back to the center aisle. Also this morning, if you do have a prayer request, in the red folder there are 3.5 by 5 index cards. Please use those cards to write your request, put it in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and then our ushers will bring that forward for the pastor. Our Bible memory verse for July. Today is the last Sunday in July. Our Bible verse is located on the first page, the front page, center, top. Repeat it now with me, and we'll do that twice through. Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. We have a few announcements this morning. I will highlight them, but first I would ask Diane Runser to come forward for her announcements.
I have a couple of announcements. First of all, to the members of the music department out there in various places, make sure that you see my husband Fritz before you leave today. He has something for all of you. Okay. Two announcements. First of all, in your bulletin, you can see the announcements about the church picnic. I'm not going to repeat that. You can read that. But we seem to have this problem with tearing things off the bulletin, because last week I got 2 cards back. So I'm going to pass the clipboard around. If you can come to the picnic and you don't want to tear up your bulletin, sign on the paper. The second sheet is about something new. As a fundraiser for the church, the NOW committee would like to have a cookie sale during the Christmas season. It's still in the planning stages, and we're currently looking for people who enjoy baking. We would take orders for cookie trays and then come to the church over a course of numerous days or evenings and actually bake the cookies here. So if you have a specialty cookie that you would like to teach others how to make, We need you. If you are a novice baker and would like to learn how to make some of those specialty cookies, we need you too. If you just enjoy the social time of working with other people who love to bake and love to serve the church, we need you too. Currently, our plan is to start making the dough for the cookies shortly, very soon, and sticking it in the freezer so that it's not quite so crazy once we get into the Advent season. So if you're interested in helping with this project and getting in on the planning so you get your own way. Oh, did I say that? Anyway, sign up on the paper. And note, it is not limited to adult females. I know there are some men out there who enjoy baking, and there are also some young people who enjoy baking, enjoy helping baking, and would like to take part in this. So the top two sheets are these new projects. And as always, check the other opportunities that are underneath. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Also a reminder, our summer Sunday school has been held once a month in June and July, and that final class will be held on August 12th. And this is just a reminder that you can mark your calendars. Regular Sunday school classes, including by CODA, will begin on September 9th. So it seems far away, but yet it'll be here before you know it. So just please mark calendars that the last summer session is August 12th, and then regular classes begin on September 9th. And also the back-to-school giveaway, that was very successful in the spring. It wasn't a back-to-school giveaway, but it was a church giveaway. Lonnie heads that, and that has been scheduled for Saturday, August 18th. Now, you do want to make a correction if you've already marked it on your calendar. In the church newsletter, it indicated August 11th, but it's the following Saturday, August 18th. So it's actually the weekend before the kids do go back to school. But it's not just back to school things. They're taking all household items and furnitures and things the same way. It will be handled the same way that we had our spring giveaway, but the focus, because it is in August, they'll concentrate on some backpack items and clothing for children and such. So please, let's show our community how very much of a giving church that we are, because this is a free giveaway. So pass that information to your friends and neighbors as well. And that's pretty much it as far as in what is critical for announcements. Just as a final reminder, please check your bulletin. We do have a few others. Pastor?
We are having membership classes. We haven't scheduled them yet. We have one person who wants to join, and we're just offering that to anybody else that's interested. Perhaps you've been an associate member and you'd like to become a full member. You are more than welcome. We would love to have you. Just contact me and let me know. And after I get a few more people, then we will set a date and have membership classes, which are held during the Sunday school hour, either in my office or just outside. So that's membership classes. And there was something else. Pardon? I don't know. Oh, well, that's it for now.
All right. Well, saying that, I would ask that you turn your hearts and your minds to worship.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt from Psalm 14. Fools say in their heart, "There is no God." The Lord looks down from heaven on all people to see if there are any that are wise who seek after God. Have they no knowledge, the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Please remain standing for our first hymn, number 98, "To God Be the Glory." Seated.
Actually, please remain standing.
Oh.
For the reading of the gospel. This is the gospel according to John chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had it in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Okay, so right about now, folks are saying, what is he doing? You know, we're supposed to be doing the children's chat. The kids came down the steps ready for the children's chat. Well, it is the fifth Sunday. And you never know what Diane and I are going to cook up for a fifth Sunday. We like to do something different when there's five Sundays in a month. But every now and then, you know I like to do this too, because what does it say in your bulletin, the very last line of the worship service? Under control of the Holy Spirit. And you know, and just like life, we all have our schedules. We're all telling ourselves, you know, after church, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that today. And then this week, I've got this, and this planned out to do. I've got work. I've got, you know, the alarm is set. I've got a busy schedule. And guess what? Life doesn't always go that way. Sometimes there's a change of plans when you least expect it. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's real bad. Sometimes there are opportunities to do ministry that we never expected. And the Holy Spirit's saying, wait a minute, I need you to do something else right now, today, tomorrow. So, this is that something else. Our schedule is all planned out for us in the bulletin. We know how things are supposed to go, but they're not going that way today. When I raise my hand like this, I would like us to sing from number, is it 2024? 2040. Number 2040 in the Faith We Sing. So look that up now, number 2040, and keep your finger there, because we're gonna refer back to it a couple times. Okay, ready? God is an awesome God. Okay. Here in John chapter 6, Jesus, who was already well known for all the miracles that he'd done, for his preaching, and he had quite a following. Him and his disciples, they crossed over the Sea of Galilee to get away to spend some time teaching and resting. And when they get to the other side, though, people have followed them. And they followed them. And so when Jesus and the disciples go up on the mountainside, and they probably just went up into the foothills, and they sat down, and Jesus looked, and all these people coming from the shore and that, they're coming across the plains. Try to picture that. We're talking 5,000 men plus women and children. We know there were children, because there was the boy with the five loaves of barley bread and the two small fish. So there's women and children coming across the plain towards him. And Jesus looks at them. He has compassion on them. He knows they've traveled far. It's getting on in the day. And so Jesus says to Philip, where are we going to buy bread so that these people may eat? Because Jesus is being a shepherd to the sheep. I've read this passage, I can't tell you how many times over the years. This is the first time that I read this passage, and this dawned on me. Philip says, it would take more than a half a year's wages for everybody to get just a bite of bread. Jesus didn't ask him how much it would cost. He just asked him, where are you going to get the bread? And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says, well, we do have this young boy here with five small loaves of barley bread and two small fish. I don't know how far that would go among so many. Let me ask you this. Which one was part of the problem? Philip. Philip was part of the problem. He brought up the negative side of the whole issue. Jesus didn't ask him how much it would cost, right? Only where would we get the bread? And rather than be part of the solution, Philip brings up more problems. A naysayer. Who was part of the solution? Andrew. Andrew didn't know how this would fix the solution, because in Andrew's limited mind, there wasn't enough for everybody, but he was trying to be part of the solution. And so he gave to Jesus what he had. Boy, let those who have ears hear. You and I are children of Almighty God. The one thing we should not be doing is walking by sight. We shouldn't be looking at our bank accounts, our time, the numbers. We should be looking at what is it that God wants us to do? Because God will take care of the rest. We need to step out in faith. Oh, I know. Being part of the solution is not always easy. And it does require faith. It's much easier to believe in what we can tangibly touch and see and hear and count. You know, that's easier to believe in. But it's not what you and I, people of faith, are called to do. We're called to make a difference in this world by being solution people, part of the solution. If I hold up a glass of water and 50% of it is filled with water, what is it? Are you sure it's half full? Or would you rather say it's half empty? It's real easy to be part of the problem. It's real easy to be a moaner, a groaner, a gossiper, even a backstabber. It's real easy to be a naysayer. Because we can see the problem. It's right there. But the person who's part of the solution knows that with God, all things are possible. If we were to live by only what we saw, would we have the story of David and Goliath? Oh, sure, but it would have turned out a whole lot different. David was part of the solution. Imagine now that you're sitting in a meeting in church. Let's say we're talking about evangelism, outreach. We're talking about the young people in our community who are not in church. And over 60% of the community is not in church. That's what the demographics tell us. And if you ever come to an event down in Irwin, you will see lots of young people, people that you don't recognize. And so we have all these young people who are wandering our streets and our communities who are not hearing the word of God. They're not in church. So that's what we're discussing at our meeting. And how are we going to solve that? How are we going to get the word of God to them? Well, one person says, well, we can't afford to do anything. We don't have the time. We don't have the people. We advertise church, let them come here. And then one person says, well, why don't we put out there and hire a youth pastor and bite the bullet and dig deep and hire a youth pastor and help that youth pastor with some volunteers to reach out to our young people, to take the word of God out to them. Why don't we do that? Now, was person number one part of the problem or solution? Problem. Person number two was part of the solution. Okay. Ron, would you stand up, please? This is Ron Slavin. S-L-A-V-I-N. First name, Ron. His wife's name is Robin. She was at first service. His daughter's name is Caitlin. She was here at first service. He has two sons, Jeff and Aaron. Jeff and Aaron, who are out of the house doing successful things. And Ron is, his home church is Charter Oaks, United Methodist Church. He's been the youth minister at the Jeanette campus. The kids call him Captain Cupcake. And Ron has been involved in just about every leadership position there is for Charter Oaks. They just love him to death down there. But now he is ours. He's our youth pastor. So, Ron will be greeting after the service today, so you can get a chance to talk to him on your way out. We're still trying to figure out some details. Ron and I were talking this morning, but he's got some exciting plans. And I'm telling you, if you know anybody who's of youth group age, we're talking, I guess, is it sixth grade and up? Sixth grade and up, we're talking the Creation Festival and Spark and some campfires and our youth community activities on Wednesdays, mission trip stuff. It's exciting stuff. So you're going to want to get on board, and Ron will want to get to know you. So we need the volunteers to come together and meet Ron. We need the kids to step up and start telling their friends. That's being part of the solution. Let's say that we're having a meeting in church, and somebody says, there's a lot of lonely people in the community. Lonely and hungry. And we know that there are a lot of people who don't have family, don't have a way to get around. They're on very low income. We've got families living with families. Our food bank alone serves over 100 families. And then there's the Presbyterian Food Bank, and they serve a lot of families. So there are a lot of people in need in our community. What can we as a church do to help minister to those who are lonely and hungry that we're not already doing? That's the meeting. That's the problem. One person steps up and says, "Hey, listen, we offer church to them, and we've got a food bank, you know, and they can go to the other food bank. That's good enough. If they need help, let them call Catholic Charities or Salvation Army or something." And another person steps up and says, "Why don't we have a free community dinner once a month, say at the end of the month on a Friday evening, and invite the public, invite people to come in and sit down and fellowship and eat a meal at least once a month at the end of the month when money's run out and things are tight." We'll need volunteers, of course, and it will keep it real simple. Which person is part of the problem? The one who doesn't want to do anything. Who's part of the solution? The one who wants to have the free community dinner. Is it easy to have a free community dinner? It's not. We're going to need donations. We're going to need people. We're going to have to get out and advertise. It's not going to work for a while, but it'll eventually catch on, I promise you. But it's something that we're throwing out there because we have a problem. Romans chapter 8 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We are filled with the power of Almighty God. You're going to hear this in Ephesians in just a little bit when Tracy reads our other scripture reading. We have a choice every day, because I'm not just talking about problems in church. I'm talking about problems at home with your family. I'm talking about problems at work. I'm talking about problems with your neighbors and not in the community. You can moan and groan and kick and fuss. You can be passive-aggressive and resist and just, I'm not getting along. It's not my fault. I'm right. I'm too embarrassed. I can't afford it. I'm not going to do it. You can be part of the problem. Or through prayer and love, you can say, okay, I'll turn the other cheek, forgive, forget, love. I will go out of my way and find out what that person needs. I will get involved in the community. I will do whatever it takes to make things right at work. You can be part of the solution. Because that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be a part of the solution. Because when we're part of the problem, we're denying the power of Almighty God. We're saying that God is not able to do this. When in fact, God can multiply 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish and feed over 5,000 people until they're full and then collect 12 baskets of leftovers. With God, all things are possible. And we're going to have a movie afternoon. We're going to do it in a couple weeks. One Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, we're going to watch a movie called Facing the Giants. It's not a documentary. It's a fictional movie about faith. It's a great movie. It brings me to tears every time I see it. And I've seen it probably 12 times. It's a great movie. So we're going to see that movie. But with God, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Believe that. Believe that. No matter what you're facing in the world, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. That's what we learn from today's scripture reading. God loves you, and so do I. Good morning, my little brothers and sisters in Christ. Who loves us? Jesus. Who loves Diane? Jesus. Who loves Fritz? Diane. Yep. Who loves everybody out there? Jesus. Absolutely. Bunches and bunches and bunches. You know, I'd like to say that life is a bowl full of candy, bowl full of roses, however that saying goes, bowl full of cherries. I like to say it's a bowl full of cherries, that it's a garden that you're going to have a wonderful time growing up. But, you know, I can't say that because the world is full of troubles and you are going to encounter difficulties along the way. But that's okay because we have a mighty God who loves us and who will take care of us. I need a volunteer. Okay, turn around. Okay, good. All right. Okay, stand up, dear. All right, now, I want you to go and shake Bruce's hand. Bruce, will you put your hand up? Okay, I want you to go and shake Bruce. Now, do you know who Bruce is? Huh? Do you know where Bruce is at? Can you see Bruce? Bruce, keep your hand up in the air, okay? We got a problem here, don't we? How are we going to get you to Bruce so you can shake his hand? And you need to tell him Jesus loves him too. What do you think we should do, guys? What are you going to do to get her to Bruce? What can we do? Anybody? Okay, or you could even not just make noises, but you could what? Go ahead, do that. Yep, now. No, just one's good enough. This is called being part of the solution. This is called getting involved. One of the things we have to learn as Christians is to identify problems. Then we can become part of the solution. And very good. Very good. Here we go. Let me take this off here. Thank you. You're going to run into a lot of problems in your life as you're growing up. And I'm telling you now that Jesus wants us to pray about it, to cast our cares on him, and then to figure out a way to solve that problem. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And God loves us very much. Yeah, bunches and bunches. Being a problem solver is what being a Christian is all about. So always be a part of the solution. Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's only name. And God, we thank you that no matter what comes our way, we know that you're with us. We know that you're greater than any problem that we have. We know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So guide us and direct us, Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.
Full of quiet and
Thank you, Connie, accompanied by Diane Runser. Our word of God this morning is from the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. These are Paul's words in his letter to the Ephesians talking about prayer. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I would ask that God add his blessings to these words from Paul. Our ushers will now come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Forgive us when we take those blessings for granted. Forgive us when we don't use those blessings the way you intended for us to use our blessings, in order to be a blessing to others, to be a part of the solution. And God, we pray that you would bless and multiply these offerings, use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, please be seated. Joys. What joys do we have that we want to share?
Indoor plumbing.
Thank you. I had my 45th high school reunion last night, and it's a joy that I'm not as old as the rest of them. It was a joy that I had the prettiest wife there. Yes. Having Ron on staff here and his family is a joy.
Celebrating a pirate victory with friends.
Celebrating a pirate victory.
Fireworks.
Pirate victory, huh? Isn't that something?
Then fireworks,
yes. Joy. Oh, our oldest granddaughter turned 7, and we're going to her birthday party today. The weather's a joy. Church opportunities are a joy. Garden fresh vegetables, a joy. Shirley is home. She called me this morning. Bruce and Nellie are celebrating their, 51st anniversary today. Okay, good. And for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Okay. Pens and pencils. My homework, your homework. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. We want to pray for USA. Always pray for our country and our country's leaders. You don't have to like them, don't have to approve of them, just pray for the office, but pray for our country and our country's leaders. Pray for our church, that we would grow in leaps and bounds, be part of the solution in this neck of the woods, and that we would be bold in our faith. Let's come against addiction in the name of Jesus Christ, especially the opioid epidemic. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. Lift up our missionaries all over the world. Sooner they get done with their job, sooner we can go home. Pray for Pastor Ron and Robin and the youth ministry. We also want to lift up in prayer the victims of those fires, especially out west. Lift up those rescuers, those who are fighting the fires, those who have to rebuild afterwards. Lots of prayers needed out there. And I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of all the shootings and killings around where we live here, Pittsburgh area. Just no respect for life. Need to pray about that. Pray for Lorraine, Matt, and family. Pray for Jake That would be our Jake and our Justin. Would appreciate some prayers for them. And we lift up to you Tony. Tony comes to church here. Her husband, Chuck, 63 years old, died of a heart attack a couple days ago. We had the service yesterday afternoon. Also, David Wilby died a while back. We had a memorial service for him on Friday. His daughter, Laura, leads our worship service here on Saturdays. And then Agnes Mock, Terry's aunt, we had a funeral for her Friday as well. So please keep them in your prayers. Pray for Suzanne. She's got her hands full. Pray for David and Virginia, who are battling cancer. Jackie and family. Pray for Jackie and family. All Rutan family, yes. Pray for the Rutans. Okay, pray for Joe. Come against that cancer in Jesus' name. Unspoken. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. Thank you for our blessings. And God, we also say we believe, help our unbelief. And we lift up into the light and love of your presence. Can you imagine being in your presence, God? There can be no pain or suffering, no sickness, no need. Perfect joy and beauty. And so we lift up into the light and love of your presence, our country and our country's leaders, our church. We lift up to you, Lord, all those who are battling addiction. We pray for our missionaries all over the world, your clergy, your children of Israel. We lift up to you Pastor Ron and Robin and the youth ministry. For all the victims of the fires, for all of the rescuers. We pray, Lord, that you would bring peace to our land, especially to the Pittsburgh area. We lift up to you Jackie and family, the Rutan family, and we pray for Joe, touch him with a healing touch. We pray for David and Virginia and Suzanne, for the Fetter family, the Wilby family, the Mock family, for Matt and family, for Jacob and Justin. Lorraine and the unspoken request. We believe, God, help our unbelief. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand and turn to number 365, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Thank you. What is impossible for God? Nothing. We are problem solvers. We are people of the solution because we are born again, spirit-filled Christians. So all we have to do is ask ourselves when faced with an insurmountable task, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And it don't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what it looks like. With God, all things are possible. So, dear Heavenly Father, help us to see the problems in our lives. Send us to those problems. Help us, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to be a part of the solution. Come, Holy Spirit, for your honor and glory and praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Greet Pastor Ron on your way out today.